spiritual discernment. You may be seated. Spiritual discernment. Dear God, even today, give your people an ear to hear. Give us spiritual discernment, dear God, because there are a lot of false doctrine out in the world. There are a lot of false teachers in the world. So, dear God, give us, your people, discernment. Help us to test the spirits to see whether they are from you, dear God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Saints, beloved, how do you know? How do you know if a person is of God or not? How do you know if a person is a true preacher or a pastor or a true man of God or a true follower of Christ? How do you know if certain healing ministries are legitimate or not? Well, beloved, one thing verse 24 tells us as Christians, as a child of God, you and I have this Spirit of God inside of us. We have the Holy Spirit of God. And one of the things he does, he leads us into all truths. He alerts us to the truth and the errors. You know, so you and I, he's kind of like an internal warning system. So you and I, beloved, verse one, you and I are not to believe every spirit. But we're told to test the spirits to see whether they are from God or not, because many, somebody say many, many false prophets, not a few, many false prophets have gone out into the world. So if you're taking notes, you might want to just jot this down. Don't believe everything you read, everything you hear. Don't even believe everything you see. You can't believe everything you hear or read or see. There are many false prophets. Now listen, for the Christian, for us, it's easy to recognize the Jehovah Witness. It's a false prophet. It's a false religion. All of them are going to hell. It's easy to remember, to recognize them. So when I say Jehovah Witness, somebody say false. They false. It's easy to recognize the Muslim. That's a false religion. That's a false prophet. They're on their way to hell. We need to pray for them. Pray that God would enlighten them and draw them to himself. It's easy to recognize the Nation of Islam, Louis Farrakhan and all them. That's false. They're on their way to hell. It's easy to recognize the Mormons. It's false. They're on their way to hell. It's easy to recognize the Christian Scientists. Somebody say false. False. It's easy to recognize the Buddhists. False. It's easy to recognize the Hindu. False. You know, be careful, saints. We live in a day and age, you know, one of the words we call it pluralism, inclusive. Like some people will have you believe that, you know, they're just, you know, everybody, all roads, Tyler, some people say, lead to God. That's a lie. Jesus says, I am the way, not a way, not an option. He said, I'm the way. I'm the way. So all this other stuff, false. It's easy to recognize that, right? I hope you recognize that. You should know that's false. And when I drive oftentimes down toward Wilcox and Tunnel, they still got the little Nation of Islam boys still be there every now and then. I know that's false. I remember 20 years ago in some of my younger days in Christianity, I'd jump out, park my car and jump out and be over there debating them and stuff. Like banging my head up against the wall almost. It's false. But here's the tricky one. What about those that are inside the four walls of the quote unquote Christian church? What about them? The text before us today and many other scriptures tells us again, everybody that stands in the pulpit, everybody that carries a Bible, everybody that says I'm Reverend so-and-so, or Minister so-and-so, or Pastor so-and-so, all of us are not sent by God. Let me say it again. All of us are not sent by God. Some are sent and then some just went. Just went on their own. So the Lord says, test the spirits. And so this morning we're going to look at two or three kind of basic fundamental ways that you and I test the spirit. Test the person who's preaching and teaching. And we do it right out of the scriptures, right out of the scriptures. They don't tell us right in the Bible what we do. The first test, you can just jot this down. We'll elaborate on it in a minute. It's the Jesus test. We're going to call that one the Jesus test. The Jesus test. This verse, verse 1, the Jesus test. Verse 1 says, test the spirit. This word test in this verse is a technical term that's used to determine, like a person is trying to determine maybe if a metal is pure or if it's fake or not. That it's a technical term to test a particular metal or something to see if it's really legit or not. So God is saying, be technical, if you will, to test the spirits. Once again, test the person to see if they are of God or not. Listen to what Acts 17 says. You can write this down and maybe read it later. Acts 17:10. Because we're supposed to test the message and the messenger. Acts 17:10 says, these brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogues. They went into the synagogues. Jesus often did that. People, I'm tired of these so-called Christians talking about, well, you don't, the early church, they didn't go to church. Throughout the Bible, they went into the synagogue. That's the church. They went into the synagogue. Jesus, that's one of the first things he would do when he'd get to a place. He would go into the synagogue. Yeah, he taught all out in the streets too, but he taught in the church, in the synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received, listen to the Berean Christians, they received the word with all eagerness. They were like, preach, preacher, what are you preaching about? We receiving this word with all eagerness. Watch this though. Examining the Berean Christians in Acts 17. Examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. They were saying, Paul, we listening. We eagerly listening, but we examining the scripture, making sure, Paul, you're teaching from the word of God, making sure these things you're saying are things that are so. So saints, when you hear a sermon, if I'm preaching, if Brother Steve preaching, or Brother Bray, or whomever, or somebody you listen to on the radio, or on TV, I listen and make sure they're saying what's thus said the Lord. Matter of fact, I examine the scriptures. Except if you're driving. Now, if you're driving, don't be trying to examine the scriptures then, you know. But other than that, I know, you know, a lot of us still carry our Bibles, but I know we have our iPhones and iPads, but pull up the scriptures. That's why we put it in the bulletin every week. Pretty much every week, if I'm preaching to one of the other ministers preaching, we're going to typically put our text right in the bulletin. Just in case, you know, you don't have your Bible. Right here in the bulletin, we want to preach what thus said the Lord. You don't need to know my opinion or anybody else's. I mean, you need to know what thus said the Lord. So listen to this. We're going to put a couple things on the screen for you just to kind of clarify this mini reference that there are many false prophets. Again, now this morning, the thrust of my message, I'm talking about false prophets. I'm not talking about other religions. I'm not talking about them. We know they false, right? We know that. We just established that. I'm talking about people who are inside the quote unquote organized church building, if you will, inside the Baptist or the Methodist or whatever. I'm talking about people inside the house. Listen to 2 Peter 2:1. 2 Peter 2:1, it's on the screen. But false prophets arose among the people, not outside. False prophets arose right amongst the people, just as there will be false prophets among you who will, listen to this, secretly. They don't come in waving a flag. Hey, I'm a false prophet. I'm coming in. I'm going to give y'all some stuff. I'm going to mess you up. No, they come in secretly, bringing in destructive heresies, even denying the master, that's Christ, who brought them, bringing it up on themselves, swift destruction. Eventually, God's going to take care of it. But in the meantime, they're trying to mess up many of the people who are inside the four walls. 1 Timothy 4:1. There are a plethora of these in the New Testament. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, that's now, after Christ ascended into glory, that begins what we call the last days or the latter times, that in latter times, so that's not like sometime 50 years from now. No, that's right now. Somebody said right now. That's right now. Some, listen, will depart from the faith. That means there were people kind of like a Judas. They were amongst us. John says it later on in this epistle. They were among us, but they left us and never came back to us. That simply means they never were really of us. Some are going to depart from the faith. They're going to be a great falling away that the Bible talks about. People, even now, numerically anyway, in most of our churches, numerically, at least about 90% of the churches, they say, are either have kind of plateaued, flatlining in attendance, or declining. Part of that is a falling away. Part of the falling away. They're going to depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. I'm preaching this morning about spiritual discernment. Don't get tricked. Don't get fooled. Just because, again, a person has a Bible doesn't mean they sent by God. I wasn't going to use any names, but I've been kind of wrestling with that for a couple of days. But I'm just going to give two names right now who I classify what I've seen biblically. They are false prophets. Joel Osteen and Creflo Dollar. That's two right there. That's two right there. There's many others. But you know, these people are inside what we call Christendom, but yet they are misleading the people of God. They're misleading the people of God. Jesus says this in Matthew 7, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves, ferocious wolves. Jesus said, beware of them. And listen to what he says in verse 16 of Matthew 7. He says, and this is a way to recognize. He said, you will recognize them by their fruits. See, if you observe them long enough, something's going to come out of their mouth, something they're going to do, something eventually going to say, wait a minute, something's not quite right. Something's not quite right with this. So Jesus said, you will recognize them by their fruits. Let me give you a few more scriptures on the screen. And we're familiar with this text, Matthew 7. I'm talking about, once again, spiritual discernment, how you got to be, don't be spiritually gullible just because somebody, again, sounds good and all that. Maybe they might have a big church, might be a small church. Not really have much to do with size, but they're not preaching the word of God the way it should be preached. Anyway, Matthew 7, 21 through 23, listen to what Jesus said. These are the words of our Lord and Savior. He says, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. See, a lot of people say Jesus is my Lord. A lot of people say Jesus is my Savior. And I'm not talking about just about preachers. Now I'm talking about anybody. A lot of people say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I belong to Jesus. A lot of people say that. But this is where Jesus said. Jesus said, everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will not enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. He said, on that day, talking about the judgment day, when all of us are going to stand before Christ, either at the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment, one day every knee is going to have to bow, every tongue is going to have to confess. All of us, every one of us are going to stand before Christ one day, face to face. Jesus said, on that day, many, there's a scary, I had a seminary professor that taught this text one time, and he just said, man, that's a frightening word. Many, not a few, but many, Jesus says, are going to say to me, Lord, Lord, there it is again, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy or preach in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do all this stuff in your name, Jesus? Did we not do many mighty works in your name? That's why I just call it first and throw out, in the name of Jesus. That always doesn't mean they belong to Jesus. Just because they say, in the name of Jesus. Because they're saying, Lord, didn't we do all this stuff in your name? And Jesus never says, no, y'all didn't do that in my name. This is what Jesus said. He said, I'm going to declare to them, I never knew you. That doesn't mean Jesus didn't know about them or didn't see what they were doing. That word speaks to intimacy. Kind of like Adam knew his wife Eve and they begat a child. It speaks to intimacy. Jesus said, I was never close to you. You and I never had a relationship. I never knew you. You don't belong to me. Then he said, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness, or you worker of iniquity. So once again, saints, just because a person is in the pulpit, just because a person quotes a few Bible verses, just because a person seemingly does some type of healing miracle, doesn't mean necessarily they belong to God. And if I seem a little extra intense this morning, it's because there are many people misleading God's people. They are damaging the testimony of the church, if you will. They're damaging the testimony of true pastors and preachers. You know how the world, they put us all in the same boat. I said, they put us all in the same boat. So when one do something crazy, they say, oh yeah, I told you them preachers, them. I told you them church people, they put us all in the same boat. And so the world mocks the church because of some of this false teaching. Now during this day and time, when John was alluding to, there was several heresies going around. One of them was that some of the teachers were saying that Jesus didn't really come physically in the flesh. That he was kind of like a spirit. You know, he didn't really come in the flesh. That's why the text says, you got to say that, hey, Jesus came in the flesh. We're talking about the Jesus of the Bible. See, a lot of people talk about a Jesus and not really the Jesus of the Bible. When I hear some people preach and I flip through and catch different sermons here or there, you know, and stuff. And, you know, it's like the Jesus some people preach about. He never, never chastised you or disciplines you at all. All he does, he just bless you all the time. That sounds like a celestial Santa Claus to me. That doesn't sound like Jesus. The Jesus I see in the scripture, he will discipline you when you get out of line. He does have a standard of holiness. He ain't saying just do it however you want to do it. Just keep on you, okay? No, no, no. The Jesus of the Bible, he has some stern things that he says to you and to me. Matter of fact, he says stuff like, if you can't deny yourself and take up your cross, you can't follow me. He says some stern things to Christ of the Bible. So again, the Jesus test is to make sure a person is preaching or teaching the Jesus of the Bible. Verse 2 and 3. And I'm going to spend most of my time in verse 2 and 3. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that confesses the Jesus of the Bible, that Jesus has come in the flesh, is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming. And is now in the world already. The spirit of Antichrist has been here for years. This is not talking about the person, the Antichrist that will come at some point. This is talking about the spirit of the Antichrist. Anything that's against Christ is the spirit of the Antichrist. And there are a lot of things against Christ these days. I said there are a lot of things against Christ these days. So what is a person, they're preaching and teaching, what are they saying about Jesus? You know, some people, number one, you can hear them preach and they very seldom, some people, even mention Jesus. I mean, if you can listen to somebody preaching message after message, week after week, sermon after sermon, month after month, and they never mention Jesus, you got your pastor's permission. Just go on and change channels and just quit watching them. But then some speak. And you hear him speak, and it's more like kind of like more like a motivational message, like stuff like, you know, you can make it. You're 10 steps to your best life, and 5 steps to getting rich, or you are somebody, or you are this. I mean, these sermons are all about you. They're about the unholy trinity, me, myself, and I. It's all about me and you, the sermon. Now, yes, I agree. You are somebody in Christ. Yes, I agree. You can make it in Christ. Yes, I agree. We are an overcomer in Christ. It's in him that we live, move, and have our very being. But then many of these false teachers, false prophets that you hear, they're simply glorified motivational speakers, leading people to the lake of fire. See, every sermon is not going to make you feel good, especially from beginning to end. The preached word of God, it cuts, it convicts, and it comforts. Let me say that again. The word of God, it cuts, it convicts, and it comforts. See, it's not my job to make you feel good every morning. It's Sunday morning. It's just my job to faithfully preach the word of God. And as you preach the word of God and as you read the word of God, it's going to do those things. It's going to rebuke you sometimes. It's going to correct you sometimes. It's going to cut you up sometimes. But it's also going to comfort you sometimes as well. It's also going to give you some great promises as well. But you know, it's not going to always make you feel good. I've told you all this before. Sometimes I flip through and I'll be watching some guy and he'd be, oh yeah, you are this. You're so great. Just go on and on and on. I'd be like, man, is he talking about me? He's talking about, I got everything perfect. I got everything going right in my life. No. The Bible is going to expose some sin. It's going to expose some shortcomings. It's going to expose some things that we need to be corrected on. Can I get a witness this morning? So he said, John says, are they preaching about Jesus of the Bible? You know, the one is, Minister Bray prayed this morning, the one who came down through 40 and 2 generations. The one who was born of a virgin Mary. The one who lived a perfect sin-free life. The one who died on that old rugged cross one Friday evening. He died on the cross. That Christ, he died on the cross. Didn't he die? He died on the cross. They laid him in a borrowed tomb. But early that Sunday morning, he got up. I said, he got up again. and then walked the earth 40 more days, then ascended on into heaven. And even right now, I'm talking about that Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible. Even right now, he's praying for you and me. He's making intercession for us. He's at the right hand of God the Father praying for us. And oh, by the way, this Jesus I'm talking about, he's coming back again one day. I say he's coming back again one day. That Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus of the Bible. See, Christ is one of a kind. I say he's one of a kind. So the spotlight should always be on him. It should always be on him. It should always be on his Father. He's deity and humanity. I say he's deity and humanity. Meaning, in other words, he's all God, yet all man. I don't know how he pulled it out. I don't know how he does that, but he's all God yet all man. This is Christology 101. Jesus, watch this. I'm going to talk about his humanity and his deity just a little bit. He had a lifespan since he's a man. He was born. He lived a little over 33 years. He was born and he died. He has a lifespan because he's human. He was humanity. But watch this. He's God, so he has no beginning and no ending. He's Alpha and Omega and everything in between. Christ. Watch this. Since he was a man, his mother Mary had to feed him, had to nurse him, and she held him because he was a little baby. She held him. Watch this. She held him in her arms. But since he's God, while she was holding him, he was really holding her. Oh, y'all don't hear me. He's all man yet all God. The deity and the humanity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's deity wrapped up in humanity. These two seemingly contradictory natures, all God and all man. Watch this. Jesus, he also had to eat because he was a man. He had to eat. He often ate fish. But watch this. Because he's God, he created the fish. He not only created the fish, he created the water that the fish swam around in. He's all God yet all man. He was man, so he would get tired. He had to sleep, right? He had to go to sleep. He didn't stay up all the time. He went to sleep. Because he's a man. He that's his humanity. He went to sleep. But then this same Christ, even though he's a man and had to go to sleep, he can wake up out of his sleep and walk out on the billow of the ship like he did that day in that storm and tell the sea, y'all go to sleep. Peace be still. And guess what? The winds and the waves had to obey him. Somebody said, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's one of a kind. He's one of a kind. Matter of fact, in Colossians 1 says this about Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth. I think that's covered about everything. That is in heaven, that are on earth. For the visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things. Somebody say all things. All things were created through him and by him and for him. And it's in him that all things hold together. We serve a unique Christ. We don't serve some regular Savior. We serve a risen Savior. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Jesus of the Bible. He's the one who came in the flesh. So some people, once again, they preach about this unbiblical type of Jesus. So one test is the Jesus test. Make sure that a person is talking about or preaching or teaching about the Jesus of the Bible. Second test to identify a false prophet or a false follower of Christ is to make sure, especially with the preacher, that they are preaching and teaching sound doctrine. They're preaching, they're teaching the Bible, the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. Make sure they are preaching and teaching the Word of God. I get very nervous, very concerned when I go to a church service or something. And this happens a lot of time at funerals and stuff, but it can happen in any setting. And the preacher gets up and reads one or two verses from the Bible. Then closes the Bible. I get nervous right then. Closes the Bible, Joshua, and never really go back to those 2, 3, 4 verses that he just read. And yeah, they might quote a few verses here or there, all out of context. But if you're going to read it, at least at the very minimum, go and read 10 or 20 verses. At least we can get just something out of hearing the Word of God being read. But read the Word of God and then close the Bible. Never have, minister, I never have understood. How are you going to read from the Word of God and close it? And say, okay, I'm going, I'm on from here. I'm running. No, keep the Bible open. At least fake it or something. Keep it open. Keep it open. So the Jesus test, make sure, see what, if it's the Jesus of the Bible they're talking about. And also just be like the Berean Christians. Check, make sure what they're saying is from the Bible. And if they, you know, ask for discernment, if it's accurate, you know, the Lord will let you know. If sometimes you can be listening to stuff and it's sounding good, and then all of a sudden you hear a couple of things. Wait a minute. You keep looking, listening, and say, no, this is something ain't quite right here. Verses 4-6. Little children. That's you and me, brothers and sisters. That's you and me. Little children, you are from God, John says, and have overcome them. For he who is in you, the Holy Spirit, is greater than he who is in the world. They, talking about the false teachers, are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. It's like, well, we like that message. Verse 6, but he says, we, meaning apostles, we are from God. Listen to this, saints. Here it is. This is the last test. This is the best test. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever knows God. John is saying, when we're preaching and teaching from the Bible, and that's what the apostles did, the people that really know God, they're going to listen to us. Then he said, whoever is not from God does not listen to us. He said, by this we know. The spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So who are you listening to? John says, as we preach and teach the word of God, those who belong to God are going to listen to us. See, that's one thing, and it happens when a person gets born again. A lot of things happen when a person gets born again. We get a new nature. We're new creatures in Christ. God gives you and me as a Christian a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. A hunger and a thirst for right living, right doing, for even hearing the truth. Even though, yes, we stumble and sin, we miss the mark, we mess up sometimes. Yes, we do sin. We need to confess our sin and repent. But God puts something in us, a hunger, Brother Jackie, and a thirst for the things of God. Maybe part of it was maybe my history of being brought up in the church and all that. But when I got born again in August of 92, nobody had to tell me, you need to go to Bible study, you need to come to Sunday school. Nobody had to tell me that. It's like internally God put in me, I need to be around the things of God. I need to be around the people of God. I need to be learning about God. I don't know much about God yet. I don't know a whole lot about Christ yet. So I need to be around them. It's something God puts in us. So John says, hey, look, John said, we preaching from God. He said, whoever knows God, you're going to listen to us. That's what John said. Jesus said, so you might say, well, John, I don't know about John. Well, John, he was a follower of Christ. You might say, let me just say, this is what Jesus said. Y'all listening this morning? Jesus said, he said, my sheep know my voice. He said, they hear my voice. They obey my voice. They follow me. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you belong to me, you're going to hear my voice. You're going to obey my voice, and you're going to follow me. That sounds like what John is saying right there. So as people of God, once again, and don't get me wrong, I'm not preaching sinless perfection. I'm not saying we get it perfectly right every time, and we don't. But as a follower of Christ, I want to follow Jesus Christ. That's not a trick statement. I say, as a follower of Jesus Christ, as a Christian, Brother Chris Hardaway, I want to follow Jesus Christ. I want to hear his voice. I want to obey his voice. And sometimes I miss it. Sometimes I don't get it right. But as a follower, that's part of the spiritual DNA. When you get born again, it's stamped on you, follower of Christ. He said, Lord, help me to follow you. Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me. John said, once again, said, hey, look, we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. So when I'm around people, now once again, I'm still talking about in what we would call, quote unquote, I say this loosely, Christian context. I'm gonna give you a good example in just a second. And they start saying stuff like, I know what the Bible says, but something wrong somewhere. I'm not trying to say you're not saved, but I'm saying something is wrong somewhere. When you start talking about, I know what the Bible said, but I know what the Bible just said too. John just said he's from God, and those who know God listen to what the Bible says. Not trying to get a way out. I remember this in the 90s. Tanya and I would go to this monthly Bible study. There's a lot of young couples. We were all kind of, most of us were kind of new in Christ. And it was on Friday nights. We'd go just say, hey, this is something different to do. Just go and hang out. Went to different houses and we had Bible study. And I said, never forget this. And of course, I won't mention their name or anything. But I remember one Friday night at a Bible study. I'm talking about how people, John just said, those who know God, they listen to what God is saying. Those who don't know God don't want to listen. I remember this person at a Bible study on a Friday night had the audacity to say, we were talking about something, some scripture we were disagreeing on, the rest of us something, you know, we thought we knew everything, didn't know anything, really. And I remember a person saying, well, you know, this book here talking about the Bible, we just can't believe everything that's in the book. We can't believe everything in the Bible. I'm thinking to myself, I can't believe you sitting up here in a Bible study on a Friday night talking about you can't believe. If I didn't believe it, I'd be down at the club somewhere if I didn't believe. And so that was a very terrible thing. And so, of course, we kind of talked to them and that was their stance. So, hey, you can't believe all the things in the Bible. And sadly to say, saints, shortly after that person's life went way off track. I'm talking about way off track. That's a slippery slope. When you're talking about, you can't believe, you know, you claim to be a follower of Christ, but you can't believe the book that Christ has left for us. But that's a real life example. I saw sadly to say, and unfortunately, you know, they just got way off track. And eventually, you know, we all of a sudden kind of disbanded their little group. And they eventually died, you know. We got way off track. Again, John says, the word of God says, we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us, and whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let me give you a couple of illustrations. I'm about through. Any I ever, I won't ask you if you have it, but a lie detector test. As best I'm familiar with a lie detector test, they hook you up to this machine, right? And then when you start telling a falsehood, Brother Rodney, beep, beep, beep. Beep goes off or the needle moves or something like that, right? Letting you know that you lying. Well, guess what? As a Christian, we're hooked up to a lie detector test. We're hooked up to the Holy Spirit. And so when he hears error, beep, 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 the needle move. He alerts us, hey, wait, something's not quite right with him or her. Something's not quite right with this message. He lets us know. Sometimes we ignore it. Sometimes we quench the spirit, ignore the spirit, and agree the spirit. But he lets us know. He lets us know that, hey, something is not quite right. Another quick example. Talking about the Holy Spirit is in us, because verse 4 says, greater is he that is within us, the Holy Spirit, than he that is within the world. We got the Holy Spirit inside of us, saints. I'm talking about spiritual discernment. You got to ask the Lord, show me, you know, and I'm applying it just specific kind of to the scriptures this morning when you're trying to understand the word of God or hearing somebody preach. But it could be any situation. It could be something on your job. It could be when you're going out trying to buy something. The Lord, give me discernment. Show me if it's right or wrong. Are they telling the truth? Or are they not telling the truth? But this is pre-submarine times. And you want to try to illustrate the Holy Spirit, how he helps us. There was this device called the diving bell. This was before submarines. And so when people who, you know, marine biologists and those type of people, when they need to try to check something out that's deep down in the ocean, you can't just jump in there and say, I'm going to go 80 feet down. No, you'll be dead. You'd be 80 feet down and dead. So they came up with this device pre-submarine years ago called the diving bell. And the concept of the diving bell was they pressurized this diving bell. So you would get in the diving bell and it was pressurized. So that pressure on you offset the pressure in the ocean. So the pressure on the inside of the diving bell, the way they were constructed, the way they had your little suit, it would help you to handle the pressure on the outside. Yeah, y'all with me? The pressure on the inside was greater than the pressure on the outside. The diving bell, look it up sometime. And so they would drop that diver down in there, and they were okay as long as they dropped them to a certain level, and they stayed inside the diving bell. Why? Because the pressure on the inside was greater than the pressure on the outside. I'm going somewhere. Y'all gonna catch this in just a second. As a Christian, guess what? The Holy Spirit, that's like the pressure on the inside. He's greater than the pressure on the outside. Because when all of us leave here today, or maybe even here today, all of us are under some type of pressure. I said, all of us got some pressure, but we got something on the inside that's greater than the pressure on the outside. I mean, we're under pressure at work, on your job. You're under pressure at home. You might be under pressure in your marriage. You're under pressure at school or college. You're under pressure of illness and sicknesses. Under pressure, bill collectors' pressure. All kind of pressure, various circumstances and situations. Even the devil himself trying to pressure us. But guess what? Guess what? We got something on the inside, once again, that's greater than the pressure on the outside. Pressure. Just because pressure is applied. We got the Holy Spirit. We got the Holy Spirit. We got the Holy Spirit. So verse 5 and 6 talks about how, again, they who are from the world, they speak from the world and the world listens to them. You know, the Bible talks about how they will accumulate those who, the itching ear doctrine that, you know, tell you just what you want to hear. Keep living the way you're living. Keep doing what you're doing. You okay? It's your best life now. Just keep living the way you're living. No, the word of God calls us to repentance every now and then. In Jeremiah, if you read that book, Jeremiah was pretty much the only prophet preaching the truth. And he was coming and he was just laying it down. So when they saw Jeremiah coming, they didn't want to see him coming. They grabbed him, and one time they took him and put him like in some chains and stocks. And one time they took him and they took the scriptures from him and burned him up. And then Jeremiah was like, God, what did I do? And God said, write them again. Write the scripture again and go again. And all the other prophets in Jeremiah, they were just telling people everything is okay. Everything is all right. But now Jeremiah was telling them the truth. And Jeremiah, he got so frustrated one time. You all have probably heard this or read this. He just threw the scriptures down. He said, nobody's listening. Nobody just want to hear all this other stuff, all these false prophets. And he threw them down. He said, I'm quitting. That's what Jeremiah said. And then Jeremiah sat down, he took a seat, he sat down, he said, I'm quitting, but he was sitting there, and then his legs started moving, and his hands started moving, he got up, he said, it was like fire shut up in my bone. He said, I can't quit, I gotta keep telling them the truth. So Jeremiah, he was telling the truth. But many during that time were not. Spiritual discernment, saints. Spiritual discernment. See, we, again, live in a climate, in a world, Jesus said it. He said, in this world, you will have trouble, but take courage, for I've overcome the world. But we're not really, since the fall of man in Genesis 3, we're not going to stay here right now anyway forever. We're just passing through. Y'all do realize that, right? We're just passing through. We're graveyard travelers. We're passing through. And, you know, really, we're like aliens in a foreign land, the Bible says. We live in a society, we live in a world that's really not Christ-friendly, if you will. We live in a world, again, I often talk about the enemies we have, our own flesh, the devil, but this world system. I mean, it's you know, just we prayed about it yesterday on the prayer line. Just recently, I think it was Thursday or Friday, we had to get a stuff went all the way to the court. This particular people, they were making, you know, wedding cakes and stuff, and they refused. I'm not gonna make a wedding cake with two men or two women. We're just not gonna do it. I said, you know, the Bible doesn't support it. We need to pray for those who are confused. Like, we need to pray for them and love them and pray for them. But you know, God said Adam and Eve. Not Adam and Steve's, Adam and Eve. And so they went all the way to the court. They got sued. And then the last thing I heard, they end up, you know, they won the suit. I mean, meaning they didn't have to do that. I mean, that's pretty bad. That's just the world's philosophy saying, okay, it's your thing. Just do what you want to do. That's your lifestyle, your Christian beliefs. That's your stuff. My stuff is different. No. We said, this is what thus saith the Lord. So this is the truth. And so we stand on the truth. But all I'm saying is this world has some weird philosophies. It's kind of like in the book of Judges when it said every man did what was right in his own eyes. Everybody got their own truth, right? There's really only one truth, the Bible. Everybody, he is right and everybody else is wrong. Can I say that again? He is right. The Lord is right, Sister Shirley, and everybody else is sherry, and everybody else is wrong. So since we're in foreign territory, watch this. We got to do like a scuba diver. I'm going to go with another water illustration. The scuba diver, what he does, he or she does, when they get ready to go scuba diving, they're going into a foreign territory. They're going into the water. God hadn't equipped us to breathe and handle stuff underwater. So the scuba diver needs some oxygen, right? They need to take oxygen with them. So they put on their oxygen tank so that when they go down into a foreign world, into the water, they can survive with that oxygen tank. Now see, if they didn't have the oxygen tank, guess what? They wouldn't survive. I said, they wouldn't survive. So they gotta have the oxygen, right? Y'all with me? They gotta have the oxygen because they're going from their world into another world. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit is kind of like our oxygen once again. We got to have the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't be able to survive in this world. We'd be all confused, all messed up, not being confident, not being led into any truth. We're in a different world, so we need the Holy Spirit. We need the oxygen of the Holy Spirit to make sure that we can breathe okay in this thing called life. We need the Holy Spirit leading us into all truth. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would lead us into all truth. He would protect us from error. Again, let the false prophet, the false pastor, the false preacher, the false teacher, the false follower of Christ lead you astray. You be in the Word of God. You ask the Holy Spirit, give me discernment, give me leading, guide me. Don't let me be misled. I've known of families. Somebody, this was a while ago, but telling me about they had their grandmother who loved the Lord, sweet saint, older lady, but maybe just her discernment was kind of low, and they had to, this is a true story, they had to intercept her check. She got a check each month. They had to intercept her check each month because she would take that check and pretty much send all the money to this false prophet. You know, so they had to intercept her check. So I got to pray for wisdom. I mean, yes, it's more blessed to give than to receive, but you got to pray for discernment. We don't need to be spiritually gullible. We need to pray for discernment. And the two main tests, the two or three main tests that we've looked at this morning, check the Jesus test. See what they say about Jesus. Not just, sometimes they're not even talking about Jesus. But then if they are talking about Jesus, listen to what they're saying about Jesus. See if it's what the Jesus of the Gospels, how he operated. Also, just be listening. That's kind of a subset going number one, really. Be listening to what they're saying, what they're preaching and teaching. Be like the Berean Christians. Search the scriptures for yourselves. Search the scriptures for yourselves. And let me leave you with this. I can't summarize it any better than what John does. Verses 1-4, and I'm through. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Test the spirits. To see whether they are from God. Just because they in a quote unquote church does not mean they're sent from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Many. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus came in the flesh, the Jesus of the Bible, we're talking about, Jesus of the Bible, that person is from God. But every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Verse 4. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. The truth of the Spirit of God that's in you is greater than the lies of the enemy that's outside of you. Let me say that again. The truth of the Spirit of God who is in you is greater than the lies of the enemy outside the world. It's outside of you. Spiritual discernment. Don't be tricked. Don't be misled just because of a person's title, just because they seem to be. I'm often amazed how 12 men, the disciples, walked closely with Jesus, did life together, roughly 3 years, a little more than 3 years. But yet, on the night, on that Thursday, before Jesus went to the cross, the night that he was betrayed, when he said, one of you 12, are going to betray me. I find it interesting. None of them pointed to Judas. Matter of fact, the gospel writers, several of them said, Lord, is it I? What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying, sometimes, right inside a Christian, right inside the four walls, if you will, can be a Judas and we not even know it. Not even know it. That's why I try the Spirit. Make sure you're from God. Make sure to hear from God. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for the availability of discernment through your Holy Spirit who's inside of us. So, Father, help us to combine the Spirit of God with the Word of God, that we might be see things more clearly as it relates to just people we interact with on a regular basis, maybe even people we listen to, or whatever it might be, dear God. Give us discernment. Let us not be easily misled or slayed or swayed one way or the other, dear God. Teach us to examine people through the Jesus test. What do they say about Jesus? Is that Christ, the true Christ that we see in the Bible, some made up Christ? So we thank you, dear God, once again for giving us the Holy Spirit who is in us, who leads us into all truth, who convicts us of sin, who empowers us and helps us to overcome sin. So, Father, even right now, draw by your Spirit in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.